If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Just a little short section today. Again, 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Peter writes, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." As we come to these verses, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, we look to you this morning. Lord, again, as we look at your word, Lord, that we'll see things here for ourselves. Lord, to maybe help us to be heads up about false teachers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. In the first chapter, Peter wrote that since God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness, the characteristics of a true Christian should be evident and growing. Or putting it a different way, since as Romans 8:9 says, every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit, every true Christian, every authentic Christian must demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. It's been a while, so let's look at the fruit of the Spirit really fast. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, begin verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, begin verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." What I found interesting when I looked at this morning again, we set hard on love and joy and peace. But look at the last ones. Self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, kindness. Those should be as present in our lives as love, joy, and peace are. How about your life? Last week, Peter finished his introduction by reminding his Christian readers, us, that salvation and hope for the future was not based on lies or made-up stories, but on the certain or sure truth of God, that men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. With this background in place, Peter turned to the subject for which he wrote his second letter, false teachers. The word "but" in verse 1 of today's scripture marks that change. Peter had hinted at the existence of false teachers earlier, but he implied that they accused him of their apostles of following cleverly invented stories, which we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But through genuine prophets, God has spoken the truth to his people. But through false prophets, Satan has always tried to confuse or contaminate God's message and God's gospel. As the father of lies, 2 Corinthians 11:14 reminds us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light as he continues to attack the church and Christians through deceptive and false doctrines, employing false teachers to sneak into the true flock. Actually, Satan has been at work ever since he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. In those years, he's come up with all kinds of things. He's come up with a false gospel. Galatians 1, 6 and 7 says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." Amongst other things, 2 Thessalonians 2 says that one day, Satan will even present to the world a false Christ, an antichrist. Throughout the Old Testament, The nation of Israel was constantly being led astray by false prophets. Elijah had to contend with the prophets of Baal, but they promoted a pagan religion. But it was the Jewish false prophets who did the most damage, for they claimed to speak for Jehovah himself. Their policy was to tell the people what they wanted to hear. Jeremiah 6:14 says, "Peace, peace," they say, when there really is no peace. Things haven't changed. Satan's attacks are often external through the use of false religions and cults, but he also attacks from inside the church. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." To help Christians watch out, Peter listed some of the characteristics of false teachers. First, they are deceptive. They are deceptive. Peter wrote that they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. False teachers are never honest or straightforward about their operations. Instead, they secretly, deceptively enter the church under false colors, giving the impression that they are true to the Christian faith. The first part of Jude 4 says, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you." Paul wrote that they introduced destructive heresies. He described these heresies as anything that denies the teaching of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul described another side of the heresies. They lead to divisions among you. Together, I think these verses touch on two major aspects of what constitutes heresy in the church. First, they deny the doctrines God has given. And second, they divide the body that God has created, the church. Both of these are dangerous, destructive actions that are mentioned several times in Scripture. For example, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Way back by the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. The Apostle John writes, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Every Christian, not just pastor, not just the diaconate, every Christian must test the spirits to see where they are coming from. False teachers don't always come in openly opposing the gospel. They come into the church claiming to believe the gospel, to have the true interpretation. They don't discount or belittle the truth immediately. They simply lay their false teachings alongside the truth. They give the impression that they believe the fundamentals of the faith. But before long, they discard the true doctrine and leave their false doctrine in place instead. Satan is a liar, and so are his ministers, his followers. They use the Bible not to enlighten, but to deceive. They seem to follow the same pattern that Satan followed when he deceived Eve way back in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden. First, they question God's word. Did God really say? Then a little later, they deny God's word, like Satan did. "Oh, you will surely not die." And finally, they substitute their own lie. "You will be like God." False teachers are not innocently ignorant of the word. They know the truth, but they deliberately reject the truth. Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 1. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18. Paul writes, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images to make look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. We could read to the end of the chapter, but I want to get back to Peter. False teachers, in other words, know better. They know the truth. They even deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Again, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, false teachers are really known better for what they deny rather than what they affirm. They deny the inspiration of the Bible. They deny the sinfulness of man. They deny the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross. Salvation by faith alone. They even deny the reality of eternal judgment. And they especially deny the deity of Jesus Christ. For if they can do away with His deity, they can destroy the entire body of Christian truth. If Jesus is not who and what He claimed to be, there's no Christian faith. For Peter, the ultimate sacrilege of false teachers is that they deny the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, outwardly in their actions, they may seem to not deny Jesus' deity, atonement, resurrection, or second coming. They may pretend to be saved and even become a member or even an officer of a Christian church. But inwardly, they adamantly refuse to submit their lives to Jesus' sovereign rule. In spite of all their words, they are unsaved. Jude writes, "These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and do not have the Spirit." All good and godly Christians may disagree on some fine points of doctrine, but they all agree on the person and on the work of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God and God the Son. He is only Lord and Savior. To deny this is to condemn one's own soul to hell. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And third, they are immoral. They are immoral. When Peter wrote, "Many will follow their shameful ways," shameful ways was referring to habitual sexual immorality, uncontrolled, degenerate conduct. The second half of Jude 4 describes them this way. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. As a great man, he's not here this morning, so I'm not going to embarrass him. As a great man by the name of Jim McCarthy once said, "They deny the truth of the Christian faith so that they can satisfy their own lusts and do it under the pretense of religion." The false prophets of Jeremiah's day were guilty of the same sins. Jeremiah 23, verse 14 says, "Among the prophets of Jerusalem, I've seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one of them turns from their wickedness. God said, they are all like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah." A teacher may claim to be God's spokesman, but if his life is characterized by corruption and lust and immorality, it proves that he's actually a fraud. The sad fact that many will follow this example of sinful conduct is proof that people would rather follow the false than the true, the sensual rather than the spiritual. The broad way that leads to destruction is indeed crowded. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." False teachers do a good job of making the broad road, the wide road, inviting and popular as they usher people through the wide gate and encourage them not to look back. Their message of independence, personal freedom, self-exaltation is naturally appealing to fallen human hearts who in their pride would rather serve themselves than submit to Jesus Christ. Later in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Superficial, insincere claims to be followers of Jesus Christ are meaningless. Only those who fully submit to his lordship and obey his will demonstrate that they truly belong to him. Turn back to 1 John. This time, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. Begin verse 3. 1 John, chapter 2. Beginning at verse 3. John writes, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." Peter went on to write that these false teachers will bring the way of truth into disrepute. False teachers and their followers bring disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. As we've seen, even in our day, the Christian faith gets a really bad name because of immoral, sinful lives of people who claim to be Christians and to be Christian leaders. Titus says, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." This is Satan's plan. On the one hand, he seeks to undermine the church from the inside by introducing deceptive heresies and false doctrines that divide and destroy the church. On the other hand, he seeks to tarnish the church's reputation from the inside by periodically unmasking false, immoral teachers before a watching world. Few things hinder the cause of Christ like the bad reputation of professing Christians and their leaders who are all part of so-called Christian churches. Characteristics of false teachers. First, they're deceptive. The pattern kind of goes like this. First, they question the Word of God. Then they deny the Word of God. And then they substitute their own lie for the Word of God. Second, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And third, they are immoral. They deny the truths of the Christian faith so that they can satisfy their own lusts and do it under the guise of religion. They do a good job making the wide road inviting. They and their followers bring disgrace to Jesus' name. Finally, Peter wrote, "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with false words." The primary motivation for false teachers is making money. They are greedy. The word greed means to have an uncontrolled, covetous desire for money and wealth. In verse 14, Peter wrote that they are experts in greed. They crave as much money as possible. In Micah 3:11, the prophet Micah described false prophets in his day. "Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money." To accomplish the materialistic goals, false teachers will exploit, if you want, make merchandise of people using false words. To exploit means to traffic in or to realize gain from. Such men want to get rich from the people to whom they minister. False teachers are rich men and women who cleverly get others to minister to them. Although they claim to serve others, they're only interested in serving themselves, using false words, stories, to fill their own pockets. They use false words, lies, to fascinate and to influence their victims. In verse 18, Peter wrote, "For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people. They flatter people. They tell them the kind of ego-building words they want to hear. They will scratch the itching ears of people who reject the truth of the Bible and turn to fables." 2 Timothy puts it this way, "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, to lies." Religion can be a tremendous tool for exploiting weak people. And these false teachers use religion just to get what they can. They aren't ministers. They're thieves. They're merchandisers. We are in a battle. A battle to live lives that demonstrate the transforming power of Christ. And we are in a battle for the souls of those around us. Ephesians 6 reminds us to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are in a heavy-duty battle as Christians. But this battle isn't in our own strength. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." In Acts chapter 20, verses 20 to 31, Paul charged the Ephesian elders with a charge which I think is appropriate, which I think is appropriate for us too. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard." Later in Philippians 2, Paul wrote, "Prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." Satan's goal is to deceive as many people as possible, both inside and outside the church, by means of false teachers, their followers, and all their lies. In response, God's goal is to identify and expose such hypocrites through the working of His children, through Christians. Through Peter's warning, the Holy Spirit makes it clear that false teachers are everywhere and have been so since the beginning. To do our part, Christians need to be vigilant. We need to be like the Bereans of Acts chapter 17, who, as we read, were of men of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and then examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Be on guard for false teachers. Test the messages you hear, the articles you read, even the so-called Christian programs you're asked to support, with what the Bible says. Only the Bible should be your source of truth, not tradition, not Pastor Steve, or any other speaker or author. You need to be alert. Refuse to listen to false teaching. Refuse to support even false ministries that exploit people and deny our Lord and Savior and what He has taught. Stand firm for the Lord. He is our Lord. He is our guide. Don't give up on Him. Know what God's Word said so you can tell the true from the false. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You would be with us. Lord, we all know there are people out there with really glib tongues that are very persuasive. Lord, help us, Lord, to identify that. Help us, Lord, to stand tall for You. Help us, Lord, to help protect others that can't recognize the glib tongues. Lord, may we be the soldiers in your army, and may we stand tall for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.